Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, two sections. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then the last verse, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And we come around once again to talking about ideas of freedom. What is freedom? I've been watching the news, and something back in my history when I was a campus pastor, students away from home for the first time, freedom. Away from parental supervision, freedom. On campus, out on their own, freedom. And the calendar comes around to Halloween. Freedom. Time to let loose. And in the news this year, been reading what's going on some of the college campuses. Time to get dressed up, do costumes, everything else. But wait a minute. If you wear a cowboy hat at one university, campus police can be called. A French beret, campus police. And up in Wisconsin, one university where somebody got dressed up as three blind mice, which I have not yet seen a picture of. I think it's probably pretty clever, but it sounds cute, but campus police were called because they had disrespected the blind and others with disabilities. And you start wondering, where is this freedom that they were chasing after? Sort of disappears, and all of a sudden everybody has to behave a certain way, follow the crowd. Like back in the 1960s, I want to be different. I want to be different. That's why I'm dressing like everybody else that wants to be different. Freedom. Okay. Let's try it another way. Politics. We're getting close to an election. And you know, if the party that I favor win, then there'll be just absolutely wonderful freedom, won't there? Is that how it happens? About 2,000 years ago. If Jesus would have just gotten rid of those pesky Romans, then his people would have been free. Right, Simon the Zealot? And it doesn't work that way because his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom was not of this world then, and his kingdom is not of this world now. And so freedom is something else. Freedom becomes, finally, when you figure out what it is, we are free only when we are connected to Jesus. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Truly free, not just the illusion of freedom, but free indeed. And this freedom prevails even when things go wrong. Even when your party is out of power, even when you have people following you around and telling you what you can and can't do, even when the limitations and the suffering and the unpleasantness that this human flesh is subject to, even when those keep on increasing, you still have freedom. Because if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's try it a third way. So, the Jews answered him, "We have never been slaves to anyone. Forgetting their history, forgetting that they had to be set free, and they were set free, and it wasn't just through the crossing of the Red Sea. It wasn't just that God led them out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. More at the heart of everything else was that blood of the Lamb that marked their doors. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." They'd forgotten that they weren't free. And Jesus reminded them, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. "Oh, but we can quit anytime we want." You ever hear that said? "I can quit anytime I want." And it doesn't work that way. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And you have got to have somebody coming along who will set you free, because you cannot achieve that freedom on your own. Being bound up in sin, you cannot get yourself free. And here we come to the Reformation and the ideas of the Reformation. A lot of the Reformation was all about simply because it does not work those other ways. Those other ways of chasing after freedom, they never work. You end up missing it, or you end up enslaved more deeply. Martin Luther learned that, and he knew that. Pursue religion, pursue spirituality, pursue God. But he could not find himself a loving and gracious God, no matter how he tried. And see, the weakness in what he was doing was he was trying. And I have to explain that more fully. But pursuing the religious, pursuing the spiritual life. And there's a phrase that they used back in Luther's day. 500 years later, it has not changed. It's gone into a different language, so there's different words, but they mean exactly the same thing. And what they were saying back then is, here's how you find fulfillment and happiness in life. How many of you have heard this in our day? You find happiness and fulfillment, joy is spelled Jesus, others, yourself. Put Jesus first, put others next, and put yourself last, and then you will find joy and fulfillment. Problem is, it doesn't work. It doesn't work because we fall short. It doesn't work because we wander off. It doesn't work because we end up somehow putting ourselves in front of everything else. But this is what they were teaching back 500 years ago. As part of Luther entering the monastery to put Jesus first. And then the missions of the monasteries. Put others second. Put yourself last. And he struggles to live up to this ideal, and you can't do it. On that order, just think about the Jews trying to fulfill the Ten Commandments and all of the tiny rules and regulations to try and fulfill Ten Commandments, and they found out they couldn't do it. when the Gentiles were being accepted into the church in Acts 15, Peter says, "Why should we put on the Gentiles a burden that neither we nor our fathers have been able to bear?" We couldn't do it. In fact, 10 commandments? No, we couldn't even fulfill one. You know that one commandment that we couldn't fulfill? Don't eat the fruit from that tree. Hey, you have the whole world given to you. Just don't eat from that tree, and we couldn't do it. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Trying to get free. Trying to find fulfillment. Trying to find a loving God. Trying to find a gracious God. Trying to find some way of earning salvation and deserving God's love. Luther couldn't do it. We can't do it. That's why the Reformation. Because here comes the basic teaching of the Reformation. Earning God's love. Why are you trying to earn God's love? Trying to find a loving God? Why are you trying to find a loving God? First, you can't do it. Secondly, it's already been done. Oh, there's Martin Luther struggling to find a loving God, and he's going into the Scriptures and he hears and he reads the words about the righteousness of God. Oh, pursue God in that way. It doesn't work. There's a loving God. How to find him? Searching for and trying to find him doesn't work. And so he agonizes and he's reading through his Bible and he comes to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Which, that verse really set him off. Because he said, this is my prayer. But, you know, if it's our prayer, why have you forsaken me? We've got a whole list of things that are good reasons for God to forsake us. Except, it's not us praying the prayer. Who is it praying the prayer? It's Jesus. And there is no reason for him to be forsaken. He is the Holy Son of God. What is he doing praying that prayer? It's my prayer. I should pray it, not him. Why is he there praying it? And Luther wrestles with this and wrestles with this until finally it dawns on him why he's there praying it. He's there praying in your place. He's hanging there before God with your judgment, your sins, and the punishment that belong to you, the forsakenness that belong to you. He did it. Now comes the answer to how do you find a loving God? The answer is you don't find him. He finds you. How do I find the grace of God? You don't find it. Jesus brings the grace of God to you. He brings that grace, that mercy, that gospel, that your sins have been taken off of you, that he took them and took them away from you and removed them, as the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. As it says again, cast them into the depths of the sea. And so what are you doing trying to earn the favor of God? You can't earn the favor of God when it's already been earned by Jesus Christ. Luther talks about that moment and he says, it was like entering heaven through widely open gates. He raced through Scripture in his mind, looking for and finding the same sense, the same meaning, the same gospel over and over and over again. That God has done everything in Jesus Christ. It's free. You can't earn a gift. And especially when it's from God, there is no way to earn or deserve it. It's yours. And now Luther is confronted by, what do I do with this? It's the something that is brand new. And you know what? When that gospel comes through to our hearts and minds, it is brand new in every generation, in every life, in every soul that it comes to. It is brand new. Luther seems to stumble on it, and he is surprised by it. And so it is with everyone who discovers the gospel. There in the Bible, here's the message of salvation. It's a surprise. An amazing, glorious surprise. What was I doing trying to get free? Jesus made me free. And this business of joy, me putting Jesus first, that's not where joy is. Joy is when I realize that Jesus came and he put me first. And he brought salvation, he brought forgiveness, he brought life, he brought eternity. And now there it is. What do I do with a gift like that? As a Christian, enjoy it for all that you are worth. Enjoy it. Enjoy being set free by God. In order to enjoy it, you have to stay connected to Jesus, right? But as long as that connected with Jesus is happening in your life, as long as he keeps speaking his word of forgiveness, his word of salvation, his word that raises from the dead, as long as he keeps on speaking that in our lives, then we're connected to him. Enjoy it, and that means dig into his word. Find the promises there in the Bible. Use the privilege of prayer. Because he's invited you anytime, anywhere, about anything, come to him in prayer. And this amazing freedom that Luther was looking for was right there all along. And God had been giving it all along. And the amazing joy that he was seeking, that was Jesus coming to him. And that is Jesus in our lives too. What do we do with this thing, this gospel, this word from God? Finally, realize that there are a whole lot of people that are still trying to find freedom and trying to find joy in some way. And there's a gift. In Jesus' name, amen.